This is the Last Week in English podcast, summer semester 2019, week 7, with me, Mark Jacob, coming to you from the TU Berg Academy Freiburg. Today's guest graduated with a bachelor's degree in geology in the United Kingdom, which is where she's from, but she did her master's in 4 European countries. One of those was Germany, to be precise, Freiburg, where she completed her master's thesis. She decided to stay and is now working towards her PhD at the Helmholtz Institute and has kindly agreed to come and talk to us today. So welcome, Rosie Blannen.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So before we talk about your PhD and things like that, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
So I come from a small town in Bedfordshire in England. It's quite close to London, kind of between London and Cambridge. So I used to go to London quite a lot with my parents when I was growing up to do touristy things and this kind of thing. And eventually I ended up studying in London for my bachelor's degree. I studied geology at Imperial College London and I graduated in 2016. So it was really nice studying in London. I made the most of being there for all the cultural things. I used to go to the theatre a lot. Because actually you can find quite cheap tickets if you know where to look. So often I would go to Shakespeare's Globe, for instance. When you stand in the courtyard, for the yard tickets, it's only £5. So it could be quite cold sometimes, and if it was raining, maybe not quite so good as well. But it was really nice, and I used to just love the atmosphere there. So I missed that a bit, actually. I studied at the Royal School of Mines, which was the department I was studying in at Imperial. It's quite a historic department, so it was one of the founding colleges for Imperial College. And it actually has the second oldest rugby varsity match in the world, behind the Cambridge-Oxford varsity match. So it started in 1902. And it's called the Bottle Match because around this time, or maybe it was a few years afterwards, one of the students, or a few of them, stole a big bottle off the back of a milk lorry. And ever since then, that's been the kind of mascot that we play for. So I used to play in the hockey team for the RSM. So I did that 3 years. And 1 year we would be playing in London for the RSM, and then the next year we would go down to Cornwall, where our rivals study at the Camborne School of Mines. So that was really fun. Really, really fun part of my student life in London was the community at the Royal School of Mines. And the Royal School of Mines is a really nice location in London as well. It's in South Kensington, so right on the doorstep with all the museums in this part of London. So because they're free, I could just pop in for lunch or something like this, just have a look around when I had my study breaks.
Well, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's very good. We used to go in there for tutorials as well sometimes, go and look at the fossils. Yeah, it was very interesting.
Okay, so well, London was obviously close to your hometown then, and sounds like an amazing place to study. What was it about geology then that made you want to study geology?
I really love that it combines all the different kinds of sciences and is really applying them. I remember when I was younger, I went down to the south coast I went and was fossil hunting with my parents, and I remember finding a big ammonite fossil in the cliff and digging it out and going and washing it in the sea and thinking, oh wow, what have I found here? And even from early on, I knew that I wanted to do some kind of science, and then I carried on studying at school and did geology at A level, and was like, yeah, this is great, I really love this.
Okay, and at university then, you did a bachelor's at Imperial College, the Royal School of Mines, you said. Yeah. And one thing that the students have to do here is they have a lot of other subjects, like they have to do, I don't know, depending on what they study, they have to do chemistry and physics and maths. Mm. How much of that did you have to do, and how much was it specifically geology?
So in the first year particularly, we had to do basics in physics, chemistry and maths, especially if we hadn't done this before at A-levels. So I hadn't done physics, so I had to do a specific module for catching up my level of physics. And then people who had already done those subjects did a more advanced level of class for those subjects. And we also did the basic geology at that time to catch everybody up to the same level for geology too, since some of us had already done geology A level before. And after that, in the second year and third year, and you can even stay for a fourth year, but I didn't, but you then get more specific and specialised in the geology modules that you do.
Right, and what kind of area did you move into there? Did you specialise in?
I moved more towards igneous and metamorphic geology and mining and minerals processing, which was what I preferred doing. And that was actually why I studied the masters that I ended up studying, the Emerald Erasmus Mundus Masters. So I wanted to do this because it's in geo-resources engineering, so more towards the mining side of geology, so ore geology, but also the minerals processing, which I think is really important for if you want to be a geologist or a mine geologist, to actually have an understanding of how the geology of the deposit you're working on would impact the minerals processing and how you could recover the metals from the deposit. So this was why I wanted to do this master's. So the first semester we studied in Liège in Belgium. Mm-hmm. And we did, again, basics of minerals processing and geology and these kinds of things, and some programming and numerical methods. And then we moved to Nancy in France, where we did a lot of geomodelling and more complex flotation modules like thermodynamics and kinetics of the flotation. And then the third semester, we went to Luleå in Sweden. And there we did some geometallurgy, which I found that I really liked and wanted to carry on doing. And that was why I selected the master's thesis that I wanted to do in geometallurgy. And it was actually in Freiburg at the Helmholtz Institute in Freiburg. Mm. And that is how I ended up coming to Freiburg.
That would have been one of my questions. How did you end up in Freiburg? Well, it was a long route then via four different countries. Did you have to apply for that master's? Was it difficult to get into, or how did you find out about it?
I found out by a friend who was part of the student, the Society of Economic Geology student chapter, and he heard about this master's course being advertised. And I thought, yeah, that sounds great, the opportunity to live in four different European countries and study what I really want to do. So I applied, and then a few months later we had interviews and did an online test and these kinds of things, and then I found out I'd got a place. And they also offer scholarships for about half of the students, so there's about 20 students per cohort. Mm-hmm. I was in the fourth cohort, and there's now the sixth cohort studying, and the fifth are doing their master's thesis at the moment. And so They've renewed this funding again, so they still have the scholarships for around half or more of the students taking place. And that was why I thought it was also very good to do, to have the funding there.
Do all students in the cohort then, they go around to these different countries at the same time?
Yes, so for my cohort, we all moved around the first three together, and then you go separate ways for the master's thesis. So a few would go to Liège, a few in Nancy, a few in Luleå, and then a few in Freiburg. But it's changed now. They had to resubmit funding application, so the structure has changed slightly. So when it comes to the third semester, some students go to Luleå and some will come to Freiburg. And that will be starting in September time. Some students will be coming to Freiburg instead and learning more about recycling and geometallurgy here.
And where do the students come from? Are they from all over Europe or beyond Europe?
Yeah, all over the world. In my my cohort, there was 19 students and from about 13 different countries, I think, from all over the world.
Okay, so what was that experience like?
It was very, very nice to meet lots of new people and make loads of friends. It was quite a struggle sometimes getting used to working different ways. We did a lot of group work together, so it was quite difficult coming to terms with how different people work in different ways. But also we came from different educational backgrounds. So for instance, I'm a geologist, but some people were from a mineral processing background or a mining engineering background. So not only were we combining different cultures and ways of working, also different knowledge bases. So it could be quite challenging combining all of this together to get the best results when we were working on group projects, but it was a very good experience.
It sounded like you were out of your comfort zone, which is a question that I asked my students this morning. Actually, we have a warm-up normally at the beginning of the lesson where we talk in English and I give them a question. And yeah, my question this morning for them was about their comfort zone. So it sounds like you really got out of yours.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I like to be in my comfort zone, but I think it's good to push yourself and get out of your comfort zone sometimes. And that was one of the reasons as well why I wanted to do this master's, because I'd always wanted to live abroad and I thought this was a really good opportunity to do that and also to push myself. I was very comfortable in London studying at Imperial. I loved it there, but I needed to get out of my comfort zone.
And well, seeing as you studied in various countries in Europe, would you say that you felt like a European, or do you feel very British, or how do you feel about that?
That's a good question. I would say I do feel quite British. I think that sometimes we see ourselves a bit separately from the rest of Europe, but I definitely do feel like a European. Yeah, everyone is very accepting in Europe, well, I like to think they are anyway.
Because that was a question from one of the students this morning, and I'm not surprised. I said, do you have any questions for Rosie? And it was about Brexit. Mm. So are there any views that you'd like to share on Brexit, or are you fed up of Brexit?
I have many views on Brexit, but yes, I think everyone's a bit fed up with it now. It's been such a dilemma all this time. I just remember in the build-up to the vote, I was like, there's no way that we're going to leave, no way people are going to vote to leave. And I was looking at my phone as the first votes started coming in and thinking, oh, leave, yeah, okay, leave. Oh, well, I mean, these are just the first few constituencies, it's going to turn around. And then every few hours throughout the night, I was checking my phone and thinking, oh no. This is getting worse and worse. I was just horrified. Obviously, as somebody who was at that point, I'd already got my place on my master's and was waiting to go in the next September. The vote was in the summertime and I was leaving later that year. Obviously, it was not what I wanted. As someone who was willing to go and live abroad in Europe and study in all these places on a European Union funded project, you know, it was not what I wanted.
And have you had a lot of questions about Brexit from then your fellow students, or from now from others in Freiburg?
Yes, many people ask me my views on Brexit, and especially recently with all the votes happening and actually almost building up to us leaving with no deal, that many people were talking about it all the time, always asking me what I was going to have to do, what I was thinking about it. Yeah, it's been quite stressful actually, because there was quite a lot of information. If I was checking BBC News or something, a lot of information about the people from Europe who are living in the UK, but not that much information for people living in the EU from the UK. And I don't know, I think just nobody knows what's happening, so how can they give us any information if nobody knows what's happening? So yeah, it's been a bit of a nightmare. For instance, I tried to go and change my driving license because we were being told if it was a no deal, then my driving license would not be valid here and I would have to do a German driving test to have a license. So I went to try and change it and I had to go with somebody else who had hired a car to go to this place. It's in Dubeln where we had to go. And I got there and I didn't have the right documents, so I couldn't do it. And luckily the deadline was then extended, so I now have until October to change my driving license. But yeah, at that point in time I then had like a few more days until the deadline in March, the original deadline. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna hope and pray that this is extended. I'm assuming it's gonna be extended because nobody wants a no deal.
Yeah, so you're safe for now in Freiburg from
Yes.
Brexit. What were your first impressions when you came to Freiburg?
So I came for the first time in January in 2018. And it was already very dark by the time I arrived. I remember coming to the train station and thinking, oh. And then I just went straight to the hotel where we were staying. We came for a winter business school with the rest of my master's colleagues, and we stayed for 3 weeks doing the business school. So I just went straight to the hotel and was thinking, not sure what I think about this place, and I have to stay here for my master's thesis now. But the next day I decided I wanted to go and see the centre, the city centre. So I went for a run and went down the hill and I was like, oh, this place is really nice. It's very pretty here. Yeah. So I thought, yeah, this is a place I could stay. And then I got very lost on my run and saw a bit more of the city than I was expecting to that day.
Right, yeah, if you, I mean, it's a small place, Freiburg, but if you're not from around here, there are many routes you can take to get to the same place,
Yeah.
or I guess maybe to different places. Makes sense. So you're quite sporty then, is that right? You mentioned hockey already and now running.
Yeah, I used to be, not so much now. I found during my master's thesis I didn't have much time and I also got a bit injured when I went for a long run here in Freiburg. And I found it hard to motivate myself again after that. Because I feel like I'm busy all the time, and then when I come home from work, I'm tired, and I know I just need to fix an aim, and then I should hopefully get back into it. I would like to join a hockey team here, I think, if I can. I've just been a bit worried about language issues, but now that I'm learning German, I hope that it would be easier.
Do you know anyone at the hockey club?
No, I don't.
Okay, FHTC, Freiburg Hockey and Tennis Club. So you mentioned that you don't know how you're going to communicate with people. How do you communicate with people here in Freiburg?
Well, I try a little German. I'm doing the A1 classes now at TUBAF, so I know some, but it's not really enough. So I try in a little bit of German and then maybe English and hope that somebody can help me if things go wrong. Often before I go somewhere and I know I need to try and say something, I'll translate something on my phone and just have it ready to use. But it can be quite difficult.
Right. But at the Helmholtz Institute, then you can speak English. That's
Yes,
right.
it's very international at the Helmholtz Institute in Freiburg. There's about 140 people who work there now, and I would say maybe like 50% are international people. So the main language that we communicate in is English, and obviously with scientific literature, we would publish in English normally anyway.
Right. So at work, it's not a problem. It's just maybe in your free time.
Exactly.
But if you're doing a PhD here, that means you're planning on being here for a few more years yet.
Yes, so I just started my PhD in January and it should be around 3 years.
Yeah, and what is the topic of your
So
PhD?
my PhD is part of the European training network called SOLTAN, the remediation and reprocessing of sulfidic mining waste sites. So There are 15 PhD students around the rest of Europe, in a few different countries. There's a few more in Germany and some in Switzerland and Finland and Belgium. And we're working on sulfidic mining wastes, as I said. So my project is on some tailings, mine tailings around Freiberg specifically. So I'm doing some characterization and geometallurgical modeling of these deposits in the hopes of seeing what the resource potential could be, if what the material could be used for. So perhaps we could recover some of the metals that are left in there. Otherwise, if the material would be useful for using in construction, so in bricks or cements or this kind of thing. And there are two other students in the network who are working on different tailings deposits, so one working in Belgium and one in Portugal. And then the rest of the students are working on these processes for extracting anything from the tailings materials, with novel ideas and adaptions of existing techniques, and then also seeing what the other uses are. And then I combine all of their results into my model, basically.
But are you doing any sampling as well?
Yes, we will be doing sampling of the tailings deposit near Freiberg. First, we have to apply for permits and everything and wait for all of this to go through. So hopefully by the end of this year, I will have done some sampling.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned modelling as well. I mean, do you prefer modelling or sampling or working in the lab? What sort of thing do you like doing most?
So any lab work that I would do really is sample preparation for analysing the samples. So normally I use mineral liberation analysis, which is what we do a lot of at the Helmholtz Institute and also at TUBAF. And we basically use a scanning electron microscope and X-ray spectra to identify the minerals that are present in the samples. So this is what I work on a lot and what I will be doing in my PhD. So this is what I really like doing. But then it will be very useful. It's a very important technique to be able to do 3D modelling for a geologist. So it'll be very good to also do the modelling from my results eventually.
Yeah, and what sort of model do you use? And is it one developed here in Freiberg?
At the moment I'm using GoCAD software. So it was actually developed in Nancy in France, where I studied for my master's.
Okay. And yeah, you mentioned you're part of a kind of a network, a Sultan network, is that right? And do you meet up with the other PhD students, or do you interact somehow?
Yes, so we have two meetings per year. So we had the kickoff meeting earlier this year in February in Leuven in Belgium. The next meeting in September is actually in Freiberg. So we meet up, as I said, twice a year, but also we have different work packages, and we have work package meetings in between the two meetings per year. So I've got one in a few weeks, and we just have like a big Skype meeting with everyone and discuss the progress of our projects and any issues there are and these kind of things.
Mm. So do you have to give a presentation then of your results? Or just discuss?
Yeah, so each of the ESRs, the early stage researchers, so the PhD students, has to give a 10-15 minute presentation, and then it'll be a discussion about what we've presented and any other questions that come up.
Right, 10-15 minutes, that's interesting, because that's what I'm doing with the students right now, the UNICEPT students. And we're also doing about a 12-minute presentation plus 3 minutes of questions. And I told them, that's what you will be doing. And that's what you are doing, in fact.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same at all of these meetings.
Yep. Right.
We just have to give a quick 10-minute presentation.
Right.
Even in the first meeting, we had the kickoff meeting when obviously we hadn't really started yet, nobody had any results. We still had to introduce what we were doing and ourselves, particularly. Very, very important skill to be able to present things concisely as well.
Yeah. Do you enjoy presentations?
I used to really hate them. I'm not very confident at presenting, but you just have to get used to it. As they say, it is just about practice.
Right. Wanted to ask you also about your motivation to do a PhD, because it's one thing to be interested in a topic, and another thing to put yourself through doing a PhD, because it's tough. You've got to find something new. Things don't always work out. Maybe I shouldn't tell you that at this early stage in your PhD. And it can take longer than you might expect. Why is it that you're doing a PhD and not just saying, okay, I'm going to get out to work somewhere?
Yes, this is very true. I always love science, as I said, and geology particularly. And I just always imagine myself doing a PhD. When I was younger, so in 2012, I did a research project at the Open University in England. And just then I knew that I would really like to go into research. I loved the environment. We used to go for coffee every day at like 11 in the morning. You know, it's just a really nice community, and I love being able to focus on the research. You know, I need something that really interests me, otherwise I get bored very quickly. So I was thinking that I would be good to go and work for a few years. I thought that would probably be best for me, but then this PhD position came up, the one that I'm doing now, and I thought, oh, it's such a good opportunity and I really wanted to do it, so I just went for it. And especially because I know that we're working on such an important subject, that really motivates me as well, because these sulfidic mining wastes can be very bad for the environment, and also obviously it's just a lot of waste, and if we want to go towards a more circular economy in the future, we need to start using these wastes and protecting our environment and cleaning up the environment where we've already made a mess like 50 years, 100 years ago, as that is the age of some of these mining wastes we're working on. So this is what really motivates me and made me want to do this project.
Yeah. And at the Helmholtz Institute, and what is the, let's say, what is the atmosphere like? Is it different to a university or is it similar?
I think it's similar to a university still, but because there's not really any students hanging around, going to lectures, this kind of thing, it seems a bit more serious, a bit more, not professional, because universities are professional as well, but yeah, I feel like I'm doing a job more than being a PhD student. I would say I'm more of a PhD candidate, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. And Helmholtz also have, I mean, institutes around Germany, maybe even the world, is that right? Do you feel like a part of the Helmholtz family?
So the Helmholtz Institute Freiburg is a part of the Helmholtz Dresden Rosendorf. So I feel definitely connected to there. But so much for the other ones, I'm not sure. I know I particularly don't really collaborate with some of the other Helmholtz Institutes, but some of my colleagues do. So they're working together with different Helmholtz Institutes. So it's definitely very connected.
Mm. You're definitely connected with the university here and with TUBAF, as you say.
Yes, saying. Yes. The Helmholtz Institute in Freiburg was set up to closely collaborate with TUBAF as well. So I'm enrolled as a student here during my PhD. And yes, I mean, it's very nice to be able to go to some lectures that are happening here, or I could do some teaching if I wanted to, and these kind of things. And to be involved in the German lessons as well is very good.
Would you like to do some teaching?
Maybe in a few years, more towards the end of my PhD, I think I would be a bit more confident then. Would also be good to be able to supervise some master's students or bachelor's students even. Would be good opportunity, I think.
Right. Now you mentioned, and you're going to do some sampling. Have you been to any of these places, any of the sites around Freiburg?
Yes, I visited them a few times, and also recently I had to do a blog for the Sultan project. So I decided that it would be a good idea to go on a bike ride around some of the old mine sites around Freiberg. So I visited, for example, Alte Elisabeth and Reichertseche, the mines there. And I also then went to the Davidschacht Halde, one of the tailings that I'll be working on a bit. And then we cycled along the Mulde. So next to the river is the Rottergraben, where some of the mine waters are channeled to stop them going straight into the river. And we cycled along there. And then I went to the Munsbachtal Halde, which is the main site that I'm working on for my PhD, which is near Halsbrücke. And then cycled back home again.
Okay, all in one day.
It was, yeah, it was about 20 kilometers in the end. But it was very warm that day.
Did you have anyone with you to kind of give you some information about the sites?
Yes, my boyfriend came with me. But he was part of the student chapter for the Society of Economic Geology last year. So he ran a similar trip last year with the student chapter. So not to quite as many places as I went. But yeah, they run this trip each year and have a lot of the information compiled and everything. But it was in German, so he had to translate for me.
Okay, but he speaks English then?
He speaks good English, but he's German.
He's German, yeah. Okay. Ah, so you have some help then with the speaking German, as it were.
Yes, sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, is he from Freiburg?
No, he's from Neuruppin, near Berlin.
Okay.
And he's living in Potsdam now, so not in Freiburg.
Not in Freiburg, but it's not too far away.
No, not too far.
Right. And have you visited some other places then? Well, obviously you visited him, but
yes.
Have you visited any other places in Germany?
I've been to Dresden quite a few times. I really, really like it there, and it's not too far, so it's very nice to go there. And I've been to Meissen as well. I went to the castle and looked around. I think it was about a year ago. That was very nice, very beautiful. And I've been to Saxische Schweiz as well. Did some hiking. I really loved it there. That was so, so nice. Have to go back soon. Now the weather's improving a bit, I think I'll be able to go back.
And what about going back to England then? Do you get back there very much?
Every few months. I try to go every few months because it's not the easiest to get back from Freiburg. But yeah, it's good to go home when I do. Yeah, I went for over Easter the last time, and then I'll probably go for like a week in a few months. But yeah, I wish I could go back more, but it's difficult.
Is there anything you particularly miss about England?
I think I just miss my family the most, to be honest, and my friends. And I miss being in London as well. I really loved living there. Going from somewhere as big as London to somewhere as small as Freiburg can be quite hard sometimes. And as I said, I used to go to the theatre all the time and do a lot of these things. And it's quite hard to do things like that in Freiburg. At the moment anyway, when my German is not very good, because if I went to the theatre or something, it's all in German. Even at the cinema, they only show like one film a week or something in English. So, yeah. Just need to improve my German.
Yeah, improve your German. Well, you're doing your course here, so
yes,
it's a question of time if you put the effort in. Could you imagine yourself staying in Germany then, or where do you see yourself in the future? I know it's a long way off finishing your PhD, but
I'm not really sure at the moment. I would like to do some more travelling, so maybe work a while in the US or in Australia or Canada or somewhere like this. It would be nice to go back to England, but I can't really do the work that I would want to do there in mining and geometallurgy in particular. There's not really anywhere. There are a few places, but not many that do that kind of research or that kind of work. So that would be a bit limiting, really. But I would like to go back to England, really. We'll see what the future holds. I guess it would be nice to stay in Germany too. I do like it here.
Yeah. Is there anything in particular you like about being in Germany?
I really like where I'm working at the Helmholtz Institute. It's really nice that it's very international and collaborative as well, and very interdisciplinary, and we all work together a lot, and I think that's really nice. I like the culture in Germany as well. It's although people work hard, they also have a good time.
Okay. Rosie, I'd like to wish you all the best for your PhD, a lot of hard work, and having a nice time. It sounds like you are having a good time here in Freiburg.
Yes.
And if you're around for a few more years, maybe you can even come and talk to the students in the lesson.
Oh, yes. Sometime. That would be a pleasure.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.